Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Online, on your mobile, and on FM.
From the home of time.
This is Maritime Radio, Greenwich.
From the Sky News Centre at...
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song. Get up, get up, get out of the bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
At the double, looks like this season we're up for the cup. Seven more wins and it's ours. Welcome to Charlton Live. Very good evening to you all and welcome to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendez. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley is the grand old man of Charlton Athletic. How are you doing, Tal? I haven't seen you in here for a while.
No, good evening. Yes, I'm back.
Yes. Yeah. Where
have you let me in.
Yeah, sunning yourself at the American rugby, haven't you?
Well, I was there, but sunning is stretching it a bit.
Yeah. Did you miss us?
Well, always.
Always. Excellent. And joining the pair of us, the man who's always here, never lets us down, even if there's a different sport to go and see.
They'll find his bed in here sooner or later.
Tom Wallin, how are you doing, Tom?
Don't tell anyone.
You're right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm not too bad.
I said you're always here. You weren't here yesterday, were you?
No, I weren't.
So you actually missed one of the better games of the season.
That's annoying.
Yeah. Yesterday here at the Valley in a really enthralling cup tie, a really enjoyable game. A wonderful 3-1 win over Scunthorpe in the cup, including an absolute screamer from Adamola Lookman to open the scoring. We're going to talk about that game. Obviously, we're going to hear exclusively from Russell Slade. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, we're the only show or media outlet that gets an exclusive interview with Russell Slade. So if you want an exclusive interview, you have to come to Charlton Live. I've got an exclusive interview with him. The rest of it are all interviews we steal from other places. So like, we've got one with Adamola Lookman. We're going to hear from Andy Hunt. Andy Hunt came and visited the club for the Chesterfield game last week. Ollie's been kind enough to let us have the audio from that. So we're going to hear from Andy Hunt. We want to know what your best memories are of Andy Hunt, actually. What memories have you got of that fine striker we had back in the was late 90s, early 2000s? Also, our other subject today is after Adamola Lookman did open the scrum with what was a truly glorious strike yesterday into the top corner from all the 30 yards on his left foot. We want to know what your favourite FA Cup goals scored by the Addicts are. I'm sure there's plenty of ones out there. We have had some good runs in the Cup in times. We've been to the quarterfinals four times in the last 23 seasons, and you know, one of those, there must be some good goals in that run. So let us know what your favourite FA Cup Charlton goals are, your memories of Andy Hunt, what you made of yesterday's win over Scunthorpe in the FA Cup. If you came yesterday, what you why you came. If you didn't come yesterday, because obviously it was quite a low crowd, why you decided not to come. All of those things, you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. Although if you're getting problems with the emails, we've had a few people saying that they're getting an error message from the email account. So if you're doing that, if you go onto Twitter, then you can just DM us, DM the Charlton Live account with your email, or you could go onto the Charlton Live forum. And there's a thread on there for tonight's show. If you want to put what you'd put in your email, if you put that on the thread on Charlton Life, then we'll be able to read that as well. Of course, you can tweet us at Charlton Live as well. Right. As I said, it was a fantastic game here at the Valley yesterday. And it made for a nice break from, I guess, at times, till this season. Whereas we're on a little bit of a decent run now, actually. But at times, the football hasn't been the most exciting.
Yeah, I think before yesterday's game, we weren't looking at it as a sort of break from the league because of who we were playing. Had we been playing anybody else but Scunthorpe, who are flying high at the top of League One at the minute, I think there may have been a different outlook before yesterday's game. But as it panned out, I wouldn't say that was our best football. I think still the first half at Port Vale is up there with our best football of the season. But in terms of how we compete and how we looked, I thought certainly one of our most organised displays yesterday. Yeah.
And in terms of an exciting game as well, because it was a
end to end, absolutely.
Yeah. Right, well, let's. I think you want to hear it again. Terry and Greg Stubley took you through the action during that fantastic cup tie yesterday, so let's hear how they described that win over Scunthorpe.
Holmes inside to Jose, nice 1-2. Holmes inside the penalty area. Ricky Holmes cuts in on his left foot, brought down, no penalty given. Corner kick, Charlton. Drop down towards Van Veen, he's got in behind Conser. Kevin Van Veen closed down by Fox, he's gone into his right foot, straight at Declan Rudd, let off for Charlton.
Yeah, Conser's looking at the referee, thought he was caught in the process. It was a combination of getting the ball stuck between his legs and the pressure from Van Veen.
Holmes advancing forward, Dwayne Holmes, lovely ball inside to Wiseman, across to Van Veen, who fires over, glorious chance for Scunthorpe. Good pressure from Baron. Van Veen just forced his shot over, again Charlton let off. Kevin Foley still has it, looks across to Ulverstad. Ulverstad across to Conser. Inside to Crofts. Cross now to Conser, who brings the ball forward inside Scunthorpe's half. McGuinness looks the ball around the corner. Can out by Good. Be a Charlton throw. As Madden's allowed to come back into play. Looks okay to continue. Ulverstad now for Charlton. Long ball forward looking for a Jose. It's cut out by Townsend. It'll fall to Lookman. Good touch from Lookman on his left foot. Adamola Lookman.
Oh, what a goal!
Goal that is!
Oh!
Adamola Lookman.
What a belter.
That's an absolute worldie from Adamola Lookman. Picked it out. It's a clearance from Townsend. Fell to Lookman on the edge of the box. Cuts in on his left foot. Goes to the goal. And finds the top corner, top left corner. Leave Daniels with no chance. Lookman with an absolute stunner in the FA Cup.
Well, we were aiming for a Jose. As you say, the defender got in the way, headed it straight to Lookman, who just shaped it to his left-hand side. And I said before, that Adamola Lookman prefers the left-hand side, and that's why. He absolutely spanked it from the corner of the penalty area, right into the top right-hand corner. And as you say, Luke Daniels grasping air, had absolutely no chance. What a goal from Adamola Lookman.
Now Charlton can break with Lookman. Cuts into his right foot, takes a pass forward. Lookman looks left for Jackson, who's got Fox in the overlap. Uses him. Fox crossing opportunity, fires it across. Looks for Lookman. Comes to Johnny Jackson, fires across.
Yeah, gets in the skipper.
Johnny Jackson makes it two for Charlton. Ball from Fox was cut out initially, fell back to the skipper, fires it into the far corner, and Charlton double their lead.
Some lovely football from Charlton on both sides there. First of all, Charlton trying to fashion something down on the right, didn't quite work. Cut it into Lookman, who sublimely went past two players and then thought about a shot himself instead, slipped it to the skipper Johnny Jackson, put it out to the overlap, and Morgan Fox's ball back inside, looked for Adamola Lookman, didn't quite reach him, it was cut out, but the skipper was on hand to fire that in left footed into that bottom left hand corner, and again Luke Daniels didn't have a chance with that.
Fox's throw, looks for Jackson, comes back to Crofts, does well to play it back to Fox, cross an opportunity, looks for McGuinness. McGuinness with the header, tipped over from Daniels, could have been free.
I tell you what, Morgan Fox has had a good game so far, he's been brilliant defensively, he's got forward he needed to. That was a cracking cross, and McGuinness just left his man to come to the edge of the six-yard box, turned his header towards goal. Probably comfortable save in the end for Daniels to tip it over the bar.
And there is the half-time whistle.
It's picked out. Morris. Morris will run into the penalty area, sets up a chance here, and it's a superb save from Declan Rudd. As Tom Hopper was let loose in the penalty area from a ball from Josh Morris, and it looked for all the world as though he was going to grab a goal back for Scunthorpe, but Declan Rudd got his feet in the way and the ball ricocheted above the crossbar and out for this corner. This time it's Holmes over it. He's got Townsend behind him. Swung into the box. It's a little header and it's gone in from Tom Hopper, the substitute. Scunthorpe are back in it.
Yeah, I've been saying they needed breaking play. Scunthorpe with so much pressure early on. The corner comes in. Hopper gets there first, head of his man. Poor defending from Charlton. Scunthorpe back in the game.
Well, can't say Charlton weren't warned. Three really good, maybe four actually, good opportunities in a row for Scunthorpe. And they finally got one from a dead ball situation. Ignores him momentarily. Now he finds Wiseman with the Jose giving him a bit too much space. He's taken on a Jose back inside on into the penalty area. Goes back to Holmes. It's a deflection and off the post. Still in there in the trouble. Again, a foot save from Rudd. Still in there with Van Veen. He's falling over once. He's back on it on the left. Trying to swing it into the top right hand corner. Got it all wrong. And Charlton get away with one. Ball out on the right, looking for the run of Josh Morris. He's going to take on Morgan Fox. Towards the edge of the penalty area, takes a corner shot. Oh, hello, that wasn't far away. Fizzing blimey. Shot away to the right-hand side of Declan Rudd. Van Veen cuts inside his man. Lovely tackle from Crofts to come away with it for Charlton. No immediate, too many options. Lovely 1-2 with McGuinness. Now releases Ulverstead. Ulverstead with Foley tanking away on his right-hand side. Carries on with it, Ulverstead. Little lovely reverse ball into Luckman in the penalty area. Oh, there's the goal! And a goal to Luckman! Has buried number two and Charlton's number three.
Luckman surely seals it for the Addicts. Lovely play from Ulverstad. Brings the ball forward. Reverse ball into Luckman. Through on goal. We thought he missed it initially. The keeper did get a touch onto the ball. It's another left-footed finish for Adamo. Luckman cuts off Daniels but manages to creep in. And Charlton make it three.
There is the final whistle.
You're listening to Charlton Live!
So we had the highlights yesterday, and we also had Luke Davenport and his little sister shouting at us. They came in before the game yesterday. Luke was the mascot. I hope they enjoyed their day.
They were good at shouting.
Yeah, well, you can hear that just there.
They usually are.
Yeah, I imagine they did enjoy their day because it was a great game. It was a really good game of football.
Yeah, I mean, I think we might have been saying something different had Declan Rudd not got us out of trouble a few times in the early part of the second half, because they really did come at us in that second half. And I think there was a combination of us probably taking our foot off the gas a little bit at the opening part of the second half, because the first half, I wouldn't say it was comfortable, but we seemed to be able to open them up at will when we played football on the floor, and that's what's sometimes frustrating. We still at times knock the ball up to McGuinness's head and think that's going to get us pay dividends, but every time we played the ball on the floor and around them and try and get behind them, we looked dangerous. And we really did look dangerous.
Well, it felt to me like maybe in the first half, until we actually got the goal, I felt Scunthorpe were clearly well on top.
I don't know about on top, but they were certainly, I mean, I think they were in it and they looked dangerous. No, every time they went forward, they looked dangerous, no question about that.
I mean, you're saying that, watching that team yesterday, you can understand why they're top of our league. And they were saying just off, they look a different side to us, don't they? Well, you can see we're probably still, I know we won the game yesterday, but in terms of doing what we did yesterday consistently, I don't think we haven't really achieved that yet this season, whereas they probably have.
They got two good centre-halves, if you pardon the pun, because one of them's called good. They've got a decent combative midfield, especially Dawson, who's their captain, who sort of sits in front of the back four. He's very combative. And they got goals from, I think, three different players, and a number of goals as well. Van Veen was one of them. I'm trying to think who the other two were. I think
Van Veen should have scored about six yesterday, shouldn't he?
Wiseman's quite nippy down the left-hand side. One of the guy who went off, actually, I think... Madden is the other guy who's wading with goals as well. So they've scored goals from a number of areas. Yeah, and Van Veen looked a threat. I mean, he was very mobile centre forward.
Something I was actually encouraged by yesterday was the amount of changes made by both sides. I mean, Charlton only made three, and two of those were forced by injury, and Scunthorpe only made two. So it felt like we were both teams were taking it quite seriously. And I think considering we're like as Russell has spoken as of the seed of momentum we're currently growing. You'd be mental to pull that seed out and chuck a different chuck a different one in. You want to try and build on that, can't you?
I'd say so. I mean, I did expect perhaps Batak at the start. Beans is not going to be here next week. I maybe thought McGuinness might not, because he's not going to be here next week. So I did wonder whether he'd experiment a little bit. But part of me was quite pleased he didn't, because maybe if you experiment too much, then you lose any sort of cohesion that you've had before.
Mike, we've had a penalty in the first minute. Ricky Holmes going through and then going down. As I felt there was a slight bit of contact.
If he'd have gone down in the first challenge, yes. Mm. But when the second one came, no.
No. You didn't think there was anything?
Second one, yeah. No. The first one, if he'd have gone down when the first guy, which I think was Wiseman, when Wiseman connected the first time with Ricky, then if he'd gone down at that point, yes, definite penalty. But the second one, when it came, I think he was still wishing he'd gone down for the first one.
Yeah. A couple of slightly hairy moments in the opening minutes for Ezri Konsa, which was... We don't often see that from him. A couple of times he gave the ball away in a half and...
Well, he wasn't alone, though, to be fair. We did that quite a few times. Even Patrick Bear, who I thought had a good game yesterday, did that. And I think Kevin Foley did it a few times. Actually, I thought our best defender, certainly for the first half, was Morgan Fox yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the notes I've got, there was that dangerous cross very early on, which, that's gone for about two, floating around at the back post. He managed to get a foot onto it and clear
Which is why I sort of balked when you said that Scunthorpe were clear on top. I thought all the chances Scunthorpe had, in that, especially in the first period of the first half, were all created by us.
Mm.
They didn't have to work for those. Every single attack came because we gave them the ball.
Fair enough.
That's what I thought. Anyway.
Well, no, in my opinion, I thought Scunthorpe had actually started much stronger, and I felt maybe the pressure they were putting us under
forced us into mistakes.
You know, I mean, written down before we had our first shot, I had four Kevin Van Beem chances written down. I mean, he was a dangerous looking player, wasn't he?
Oh, no question about that. Yeah, but I just think we assisted every single one of those four chances by giving him the ball in the first place.
Yeah. When our breakthrough and our goal finally came, that was some strike from Adam Adelman, was it? I mean, we just lost Ricky Holmes through injury. And now someone was tweeting me, saying he never should have played him. You know, it's too risky. He's our only winger. Blah blah blah. Especially considering next week we're going to be down to just him.
Bare bones.
Yeah. Russell wasn't very happy with the challenge on him. I can't really remember it myself.
I think it was Dawson as well. It was definite stamp. Mm. And he's got two cuts on his foot, which are going to need stitches, apparently. So stitches on the top of the foot aren't good.
I can imagine that will take a while to...
Well, I mean, you'll hear the interview in a second, of course. They're manageable, but whether they'll be manageable quickly enough for next Saturday, I don't know.
He said there was going to be bruising as well, didn't he, in that interview?
Oh, that
would
have hurt
as well.
So, again,
it depends on the level of the bruising, I guess.
Yeah. So, obviously, we had that setback and potential to be very, very, very annoying for us, really. As we say, considering especially next week, we're going to be down to the players missing. But, you know, Adam Arida came on. Again, people were saying, they're expecting him to bring on Botarka. Again, it didn't happen, but Adam Arida came on and... He was only on for about 5 minutes before he picked out that top corner. The ball comes in with a cross, headed out towards him. Two touches, and then just absolutely walloped it into that top corner.
He must be horrible to play against, mustn't he? Because you just think you're covering one foot, thinking, right, he's obviously right-footed. I'll try and just stop him playing with that right foot. And he just completely nutmegs you or jinks around to the left and lets fly that shot. I mean, my word.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to have another cashy moment from Greg.
From Stubbers.
Yeah,
we do like it when Stubbers gets slightly excited. it must be a special moment. We'll hear from Adam Rowland a little later on the show. It must be a special moment for a player playing in his first ever FA Cup tie. And doing that, if FA Cup still has that certain sort of allure to it, doesn't it?
Well, you'd like to think so, but I've got to say, I mean, if you spank any goal like that as a player, it don't matter where you're playing or who you're playing against or what competition, you remember those.
Yeah, I still remember some of the ones I've done on FIFA like that. and then I think as soon as that goal went in, we seemed to have the bit between our teeth, really. And it was only 5-6 minutes later that Johnny Jackson scored, and again it was more work from Lookman in the build-up.
I thought all three goals were well created. Admittedly, all right, the first goal eventually came because of a clearance rather than our own work. But Johnny Jackson's goal, we worked it well down the right. Probably should have done better with the first cross, maybe, if you're going to be ultra harsh. But by the time it came back, and you know, we foraged after, especially after the first goal, we looked more intense and didn't let Scunthorpe settle at all. And that hassling created the goal. Another great finish. Yeah. I mean, I know it's a lot. If you take Adam Ola's goal out of it, it's probably up there with one of the best goals because it was arrowed into that bottom left hand corner.
Yeah, and through bodies as well. He had the ball came to him after that cross, and he had to put it into the bottom corner. So then we saw another good chance from McGuinness before half time, and then but I think similar in my view to the first half. Scunthorpe came out pretty strongly at the start of the second. We saw Declan Rudd made a good save
for much longer though. I'd say 20 minutes of that second half though. They really put us on the back foot.
I mean, we saw that. We'll talk about that save from Rudd. Was it a Hopper who went through? I mean, Declan Rudd made four or five excellent saves yesterday.
Definitely, and if it hadn't been for him, I think we may have lost that second half because while they were on top, three glorious chances, I'd say. The other two, maybe a little bit more routine, perhaps, but that one-on-one where he got his feet to it and it looped over the bar.
Yeah.
That was a superb save.
See, I missed that because Scoop was busy giving me the attendance right in front of me, so I had no idea what was going on.
Doing that. You could have just counted that yourself. Yeah.
I mean, when you consider there's nobody behind us at all, he could have quite comfortably walked behind us and just handed it to us there, but oh no, not Scoop.
But then the goal does come, and Russell talks about how he's upset the fact it came from a set piece, considered, you know, we all know how many Scunthorpe top scorers in the Football League and in the top four divisions this season. The fact that we reduced them to only scoring from a set piece, and that, you know, the set pieces are the ones that really you should be better at defending, and then, you know, we let Hopper manage to find
it. It was a bit soft, yeah. It was a bit soft, unfortunately. We let him get a march. I don't know who was supposed to be marking him. I'd guess it was Patrick Bauer, but it could have been Bauer or Konsa. They just let him get to the near post, and that's not really good enough, is it? I mean, you don't want to be critical on a 3-1 victory, but, you know, those are the sort of goals that probably really irk, especially goalkeepers, centre-halves and managers.
Yeah, and it came so close to being 2-2 just a few moments later. Was it Dwayne Holmes' shot? Took a deflection, completely wrong-footed. Rob, we've seen that a couple of times in the last few weeks, actually, where a shot has taken a bizarre deflection, and whereas at times over the last few years they've gone in, we've actually been quite lucky the last couple of weeks. I think Chesterfield had one in deep into injury time, and then this one from Holmes deflected onto the post, and then Van Beene had about three bites of the cherry trying to knock the rebound in as well. We survived there, and then, to be fair, I think after they scored, I felt that they didn't seem to have as much gusto as they had perhaps at spells. You know, it seemed like we came back into the game again. We saw a couple of chances from a Jose from distance.
Yeah, I don't know whether the substitutions helped in that cause, because I thought the skipper, who'd put in a real shift. I've got to say that I thought our central midfield especially, but I thought our midfield quartet, which started with Holmes and ended up with Lookman, was probably the strongest we've played in that midfield for. I thought Crofts was probably my man of the match, actually.
Yeah. Excellent. So we keep going, and we get the goal that kills it off, really, about 6 minutes from time.
What a move that was. Again, started by Crofts. Great tackle. Looked like he had nowhere to go. McGuinness did superbly just to create a little bit of space to give him that option for a little 1-2. And then he just looked right and saw Alvestad tanking away down his right-hand side, found him. And there was an easy option ball to Foley, who was coming over on the overlap. It would have been a much simpler ball to feed him, but he saw that Lookman was just making that reverse run, found him superbly, and a great finish.
Yeah, you've been a bit of a fanboy of Alvestad, Tom, since he's come in. I guess he really has added a different dimension to a midfield that was quite stale and quite slow, perhaps, at the start of the season. He brings something different there, and that's been important for
him. He does, yeah. And I'm just watching the replay of that first goal there. It was his long ball that got headed away to find Lookman for the first goal as well. And I think there was a lot of criticism of Crofts in a lot of games, and I saw Rich Cawley tweet about that yesterday, and I don't agree with a lot of that. I think he is a bit more limited, perhaps, and that was something I mentioned yesterday, but I think what he does offer us is a lot of tenacity in the middle, and he works hard. And then with Alvestad, you've got that little spark, and he's one of the players, like Lookman and Holmes, that you enjoy coming down to watch, because he can pick those key passes. Like Terry says there, when he's got an easy pass, he doesn't always go for it. He's got an eye for a more tricky pass, but one that will pay off and perhaps give us more chances, and that's why I enjoy watching him.
Yeah. And then so
I get pulled about that later on in the Russell Slade interview, but listen out for it.
Did you get in trouble again?
Not in trouble as such, but I got put in my place.
Easily done.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Final whistle goes, 3-1, and I came out of that, and everyone chatting down here and in the tunnel was all saying, what really enjoyable game of football that was to watch. And I don't know, and Tom's shaking his head because he's missed out there.
But it was two teams genuinely trying to win a football match, and we don't tend to get that a lot. It's usually one team trying to win it, the other team trying their best not to lose it, and hopefully sneak it on a break. So watching two teams genuinely actually trying to win a football match was a bit refreshing.
I guess that is what generally you'll expect to see in cup games.
Yes, unless you're playing one of the top teams,
yeah.
And you want to get them away for a big payday or something, then yeah.
Yeah. Right. So the only thing that we also, and Tom's already pointed out, he weren't there yesterday. The crowd was about 4,123. It was. It's not.
Yep.
I mean, obviously we know that the crowds are way down this season anyway. It also couples with the fact that a lot of people don't come out for cup games, which is a shame, really, because I personally am a big fan of the cup.
Mm.
But you know, it was very low yesterday, and there are numerous reasons for that, I guess. But
yeah, the combination of apathy and protesting, I guess.
Mm.
I mean, they made a decent amount of noise, the 4,000 that were in here.
Yeah.
I thought, but it's sad to see. It is sad to see. And who knows, if we'd have been playing somebody other than Scunthorpe, maybe, you know, once, let's hope we get to the third round, for example.
Yeah.
If we get to the third round, get a big side, then maybe you see a slightly more realistic figure.
No, like if we get to the third round, we'll get someone, but Scunthorpe will come back in.
Altering them or something. Yeah, no, we will. That's just the way it goes. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Russell Slade was a very happy man after yesterday's game. He came in to speak to Terry. An exclusive interview here on Channel 9 with Russell Slade after yesterday's cup win against Scunthorpe.
Joined in the studio by a very happy, I suspect, Russell Slade. Russell, a good cup victory against the top side.
Yeah, I thought it was a good cup tie. Good advertisement for League One on the day. Thought we did, after the first 5 or 10 minutes, once we settled down, I thought we looked decent and managed to get the first goal. And it was a fantastic first goal, wasn't it?
Absolute cracker.
You know. Great finish, special finish.
You mentioned last week, and I'll get on to Ricky Holmes and his injury in a second, but Adamola coming on, you mentioned last week that both preferred to play on the left. Was there a slight doubt in your mind to put Adamola on, being as you'd have to play down that right-hand side?
No, there wasn't a doubt. He's just, he can, both of them can do both sides. I don't know, it was great to get that kind of response from Addy. Was really, really pleased with him when he's come on. He's done a good job, not just going forward, but I thought without the ball as well, he was doing his bit for the team.
And when he came on, obviously that strike, I mean, it'll be one that'll be watched on countless number of times. We were right behind it. It's an absolute peach.
Oh, left foot as well. It's not his probably strongest foot, but it just flew in. It gave the keeper no chance, to be honest. And you know, at any level. At any level, that's going to get you a goal.
Always goals settle you down. You mentioned the first few minutes we probably weren't at our...
I thought we caused our own problems a little bit at the back.
That was going to be my next point, actually.
Yeah, I thought we caused our own problems early on. And a couple of poor decisions, you know, a couple from Esri, one from Kev Foley, back pass. And I just thought we caused our own problems rather than clearing our own lines. And other than that, I thought, you know, we were starting, especially once we got the goal, we were starting to take a little bit of control, and we were getting opportunities of moving the ball quite well and freely. Second half, was always knew it was going to be a battle. They came out and they were excellent for 15, 20 minutes. Got a goal in that period, which got them back in it.
I mentioned Ricky Holmes. Do we have a news on his injury? Was it you know, how serious?
It's a cut.
Oh, okay.
It's a cut, yeah. It's a cut on top of his foot. It's It's a small cut and they're both small cuts, but one's a little bit more weary and probably need a couple of stitches in.
Painful, but recoverable, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly that, yeah.
Second half, as you say, Scunthorpe came at us, which I'm sure you expect when they're a top side and they want to get back in it. And I think both sides actually went out to win the game. There was no cagey about it.
It was a cup tie. I thought it was a good cup tie, really good advertisement, as I say, for the league. And, you know, both teams going head-to-head wanting to win it became very end-to-end. In the second period they created, you know, probably 4 or 5 chances early on in the half, but then we started creating chances as well as the second half went on the, particularly on the counter-attack, as they were throwing bodies forward. We've had a couple of opportunities as well, more than a couple, to, you know, get a third or fourth goal ourselves.
Obviously the third goal important, but equally important was Declan Rudd's contribution while it was still both 2-0 and 2-1.
Yeah, massive. And I think that's the learning curve from the game today, is when we are under that sort of pressure from the better sides, is that we do stand firm. We have a strong mentality. We protect the goal. Declan did particularly well. What was disappointing is we conceded. They didn't actually score from open play. They've scored from a set play, which is disappointing, really. It's got across the near post area. So, you know, we'll work on that because we've been very strong, very tight in those areas when we've been defending. So, look, there's things, of course, there's still loads of things to work on. There's no doubt about that. We've played a team today that's been built over a good couple of seasons now, and they know each other's strengths and weaknesses. We're just getting to know each other's strengths, and as a group we've had to make changes again today to our back four, but you know, I was pleased with the contributions of players coming in, and I just think we're getting stronger slowly but surely.
From a personal point of view, I thought our midfield today looked much stronger than it has done against the top opposition. Lee Crofts and Johnny Jackson, I thought, were outstanding. Kevin Foley came in and deputised superbly at right back as well.
Yeah, I can't believe you've not mentioned Freddie. I thought Freddie was outstanding. I thought they all were. Across that midfield, where you have to be strong against Scunthorpe, I thought we did particularly well overall. There was a 15-minute period, as I say, where they were getting in between us a little bit, and too many balls coming into the box and too many opportunities to shoot at our goal. But other than that, you know, we are progressing.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie part of a very strong midfield, which could have been weakened with Ricky Holmes going off, but you must be, and last word for Adam Ola-Lookman, coming on to fill Ricky Holmes' shoes, who is one of our outstanding performers, of course, as is Adam Ola at times, but having to come on and fill that role, which I thought he did.
Yeah, and what's good for him, he'll go off on international duty now, as a very confident and very, very pleased boy with what he's done. His contribution today was excellent.
Did you have in your mind, lastly, Russell, that because it's international weekend, but we have got a game, to try something different in preparation for next week when you haven't got the likes of Josh McGuinness and Adam Ola-Lookman and possibly Andrew Cross, depending on whether he
gets you've got to take each game on its merit. You do look and plan and see what's in front of you as well, but we'll be prepared, whatever team we put out. We'll go to, we've got the Chequer trade first.
Of course.
Colchester, and then obviously the next league game's away at Swindon. So, you know, two games.
They'll be missing for that as well, for the Tuesday, for the Chequer trade game as well.
Yes, they will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations today. Next round of the Cup. Anxiously looking forward to see who we get in the next round. But
yeah, not sure when the draw is, are you?
I'm suspecting it'll be Monday. They tend to muck about with it now, don't they? I've no idea, to be honest. But congratulations for being in the hat in the next round. It's a good feeling.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Yeah, thank you.
Charlton Live. From the home of time. Home of time. This is Maritime Radio, Greenwich.
Let's not make Charlton now into a team who's going everywhere and must win and must be better than the home side.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. This is Louis Mendes, joined by Tom. Couldn't be bothered to come yesterday, Wallin, and Terry has forgotten Freddie Olverstad Smith. that was Russell Slade there. He seemed a happy man yesterday, apart from your slip up with Freddie. But yeah,
I'll basically what I'm going to do from now on is just mention every single player's name. Just to be on the safe side.
I found out to my game earlier in the season. If you don't mention certain players at the right time, then
he just
going to
mention
it.
Them all.
Yeah, let's go through the team sheet. Right, what did you make of Declan? Did you make of Kevin Foley? Right, don't forget on tonight's show we've got a few topics that we're going to talk about in the second half. We want to because we're going to hear from Andy Hunt. Excellent striker for us back in the day, wasn't he? We want to know what your favourite memories of Andy Hunt. He's got a name like Fanny Adams, hasn't he? And we also want to know your favourite ever Charlton FA Cup goals, considering yesterday we saw one of the best ones we've seen in a long time in the FA Cup. Adam Ola-Lookman with an absolute screamer. So you can email studio@charltonlive.co.uk if you can get an email through. If you can't, you can DM it to us on Twitter, so direct message on Twitter @CharltonLive, or you can go to the Charlton Live forum where there's a couple of threads about our subjects this evening if you want to get involved with tonight's show. We've got a few people who have done already talking about specifically about yesterday's game at the moment. Mark Griffiths said it could so easily have been 3-1 to Scunthorpe yesterday. It was an open game, but for once we took our chances, Rudd, with some good saves. Overstad Cross, he remembered Overstad Till, was good yesterday. Scunthorpe attacked down the wings. Jacko was on yesterday, better at centre midfield, defence very narrow. What did you make of that, Jacko? Do you think they attacked Jacko?
They did attack us down that left hand side, our left, their right, in the first half. And Jacko, when he's caught up front, obviously hasn't necessarily got the engine he used to have. So there were a few times, and he's right, that we got a little bit exposed down that left hand side. But I thought Morgan Fox coped with that brilliantly most of the time. Mm. But he's right, by the way. We all know that Jacko's better at central midfield anyway. It's a gimme.
Yeah. Pete says, it's nice to hear you sounding so positive, lying in bed, listening in up the attics. Cheers all. Well, thanks for listening, Pete. He said he was going to, he tweeted me, so I think he's going to go to Qatar versus Russia or something like that in the week, so he's got to have his wits about him, because they like to beat up English people, don't they?
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Well, both lots.
Probably.
Both sets of fans.
You never know, but I'm just going on the Russians there.
You could just pretend to be Russian.
It could be, yeah. He could look a bit Russian, actually, Pete.
Who
knows? Dan says, I don't know what Botarka has to do to get into the 11. Every time he comes on, he looks good. He should have had at least 30 minutes yesterday. I think, did he come on last 5 minutes or something yesterday? Or am I making that up?
It was about five, 10 max, yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't really have a chance.
Didn't think he had too much contribution at all.
He made a good contribution the week before against Chesterfield.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I was surprised that he didn't start, actually, a little bit, but you can't argue with a 3-1 victory, can you really?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right, we've got a few emails that we'll come to in a little while. We want to hear from Adamola Lookman as well. I think he got a brace yesterday, despite having come off the bench, his first ever game in the FA Cup. Ollie Groom, the club's media officer, caught up with Adamola Lookman after yesterday's game. This is what the starlet had to say after his fine performance in the FA Cup.
Adamola, two goals this afternoon in the FA Cup. You must be pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just glad to get on the score sheet again, yeah.
Talk us through that first goal. It was pretty special, wasn't it? Did you always know that was going to fly into the top corner?
Yeah, I tried to pick out the far corner of the goal, and yeah, it came off, yeah.
And your second goal, a bit different, but still you had to be patient and be confident to stick that away, didn't you?
Yeah, just trying to be more confident in front of goal, just score more goals. That's what I'm trying to do, yeah.
Is it difficult coming off the bench in that situation where you have so early, especially because I guess you didn't expect to have to be firing all cylinders so early in the game? Did that affect you in any way? Because you didn't seem as if you had to take any time to get into your game, wasn't long before you scored that goal?
No, I was just ready. Just got to stay ready. Just what the manager says. Just everyone's got a part to play in the team, and obviously I was ready to come on and do my bit for the team, yeah.
I mean, you did your bit for the second goal as well, didn't you, beating that man? And were you tempted to have another shot from that position, or, you know, were they calling for the ball out wide?
No, I saw Jacko out there, so I thought he was in a better position than me, so just gave him the ball, yeah.
And two goals in the FA Cup, that's sort of a little bit special, isn't it? The competition is a special competition. You know, we're in the first round, and it's a long way to go until we get to the third round and the big boys come in. But is two goals in the FA Cup quite a big thing for you?
Yeah, definitely, because it's the first time I've played in the FA Cup, so to get two goals in it is a good achievement for me, yeah.
If we can get through the second round into the third round, have you got your eyes on a nice trip to Old Trafford or the Emirates or anything like that, or you don't like to think that far ahead?
The next game is the most important, so just look forward to that, yeah.
Cassie sees, but Ulmer Covey's line, he's gone for it, you know.
Oh, what a goal!
What a goal by Ulmer Covey!
Oh,
that's almost at the halfway line.
Unbelievable strike.
That is outrageous. Right footed. Well, we saw Ulmer Covey's line. What a goal.
Charlton Live. From the home of time. This is Maritime Radio, Greenwich.
You are listening to Charlton Live.
There we go. Welcome back to Charlton Live. Adam Ola-Lookman there speaking after his brace in yesterday's 3-1 cup win against Scunthorpe.
Nice to see him excited.
I was thinking this. I mean, as Tom was just rightly said off air there, we don't hear from him much. I think that's only the second time I can remember seeing him interviewed. The only other time, I think, pretty much as a bit of media training, well, Ollie gave us, Adam Ola came to speak to us at the Player of the Year dinner. And it was only then when it hit me how young this guy is. Is he just turned 19 now?
Yeah.
But he looks like a 12-year-old, doesn't he? And he's probably still shy.
We forget, don't we? Because yeah. He's come in and he's hit the ground running and he's clearly our best player, you'd argue, and he's got a long and very successful football career ahead of him. I think you forget that part of his game isn't necessarily something that's just going to, you know, just going to happen. Mm. Some people are shy, some people are nervous. Mm. It's just because he's good on the football field doesn't mean he's going to be able to come out and interview well. There's plenty of people, like you say, in the top divisions who have lots of media training, and obviously he'll get his in time, and I'm sure he'll go on to speak a bit more.
I mean, that's what you hope, isn't it? If he stays with us, I'm sure he'll get it, but wherever he goes, you'd hope that they have the nous to put their arm around him and say, right, this is the way to handle this sort of stuff, and so he doesn't get eaten alive by the British media, which can happen.
A lot of players don't do media at all. I mean, Chris Solly very rarely does. We had him last week, and that was a bit of a one-off, really. I mean, he speaks fine, but yeah, I guess it is just a, you know, some players just don't really care about that sort of thing.
I think it's a double whammy. One, they probably don't care, and two, there's a bit of a mistrust, especially of the British media, because they give with one hand and then try and drag you into the depths of despair with the other. You know, so you know they'll praise you and then look for a reason to drag you back down again. Yeah. So I think there's a bit of a mistrust of the British media for that.
With something like this with Lookman, it's going to come through the internal interviews with the club, and like you say, with stuff like Player of the Year, because we're not going to try and stitch up our own players with anything. We're just going to ask them genuine questions. So it's good practice for him here, like it is with football. You know, he's playing week in, week out, and we've said he's probably going to go on and play at a higher level, but now maybe isn't the time. So.
And don't forget, he's come from where? He came from
Waterloo
Sunday football a season ago. So it wouldn't have been in the upper thoughts of his mind, I mustn't learn how to talk on the microphone.
Not at all.
And do we care, really? No.
Not really. And there was one line in there, I remember, at the Player of the Year dinner when I pointed out that, because he won the Football League Apprentice of the Year last year, and I pointed out to him, well, you know, Joe Gomez only came second in it, and he's like, I don't like to be compared to other people, I'm my own man, sort of thing. So he's obviously got something he obviously knows what he wants behind the scenes, but we haven't heard too much from him there. So it was nice to hear from him speaking to Ollie after yesterday's win. Like we say, he did let his football do the talking very much, though, with that absolute screamer first gun. Because of that, we're going to ask you guys what your favourite FA Cup goals for Charlton players have been. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk, if you can. You can tweet us @CharltonLive. Or you can go on the Charlton Life forum, especially if you're having problems with the emails, which a few people have said they had. Mark Griffith says, captain's armband normally goes to Jacko, Solly or Fox. Yesterday, Crofts took it. A good choice, I thought. He showed passion after the goal. And Dan Finch says he's a talker. You can see that when he's playing. And then Mark says he's got that experience we need in those situations.
Yeah, I go, when he plays like he did yesterday, yes, absolutely. Because I thought, as I said earlier on, I thought he was my man of the match. I thought he was...
Not forgetting Freddie again, eh?
No, exactly. Freddie who? Sorry?
Flintstone.
I just thought he was... I thought that was probably his best game for us, Croft. So I didn't actually even notice at the time that he was given the armband until a bit later on. They're right. I had no problem with that at all, the way he played yesterday.
I think he benefits from Alvestad having come in as well, because until that point, I don't think he was really sure what was expected of him, because he seemed to be having to do everything. He was fighting fires at one end, but also being creative at the other end. I think now Alvestad's come in and taken a bit of that pressure off going forward. He can, you know, work his behind off, which he does anyway. He's good at breaking up the play. He's really calm on the ball, and that's the sort of player we need him for, and that's hopefully what he can just settle in and become. But, yeah, obviously, like we've said a few times, I wasn't here yesterday, but when I have seen him play, I've been very impressed with him.
So, just before we go into the emails, I just want to ask you a question, Talon. So, was yesterday the start of what we should be playing like, and are we going to continue playing in that vein, do you reckon? Because we know at times this season, whereas we have ground out results at times, I think in terms of actually fluid, exciting football, we haven't seen that much of it. That maybe like we say Port Vale away, Shrewsbury in the first half we saw it, but we haven't seen probably enough of it, and that's probably why we've drawn too many games and why we haven't, why we're still stuck in the bottom half.
I'd accept that, and I'm wondering if that had been a league game, excuse me, for example, when we were 1-0 up and they really came at us. Oh, sorry, 2-0 up. Sorry. Well, no, let's go back. When we were 1-0 up in that first half, would we have gone on to try and get the second in a league game against Scunthorpe when 3 points are vital and you don't want to, you know how good Scunthorpe are. And then they come at us like they come at us and get the equaliser. Would we have then gone on to get the next one? Do you know what I mean? So it's a difficult one to quantify because you don't know how different we would have played in terms of positional and tactical if that game had been a league game against Scunthorpe.
Yeah. And it's such a shame, really, that potentially we won't be able to take that momentum into the... I mean, ignoring the Colchester game, which I plan on doing anyway, just for the meantime. the fact that we... Because we'll have these players missing now and we might not be able to try and take that into...
Yes
into
and no, Swindon. But when you consider who we got missing, we got McGuinness is missing. So you'd expect Novak and Ajoze to play up front. Now, Nicky Ajoze's been banging on the door and even yesterday, although he didn't get on a score sheet, he played okay in the first round. Novak, when he came on again, played okay, I thought. And every time he's come on, Lee Novak, I've been impressed. So having Lee Novak and Nicky Ajoze out front doesn't bother me at all. And I think it's good for the squad that they get their chance. We are going to miss Witt. Obviously, Holmes is key if he's fit. If he isn't fit, then that's an issue. And
what do we do?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'd guess you'd have Foley, potentially, and Johnny Jackson, right and left. That's my guess.
Could we... Do you reckon Solly and Fox could play wing-backs?
Potentially, but I don't think...
I know it's a big change to have to do.
Away from home, I don't think you'll risk it. Mm. And you could end up away from home that he might only play... He might even play Nicky Ajoze wide.
Yeah.
And have...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Novak on his own up front, it's difficult to say. But I think the wide areas is the only area where you start to think, oh, we're really going to miss potentially. But if Holmes is fit, then you'd imagine Ricky Holmes would be on the right, Johnny Jackson on the left. Ulverstead and Cross in the middle, pretty much as yesterday. Solly, you would expect to come straight back at right back. Probably Pierce to come straight back in the centre half alongside that. So, actually, I don't think that the three missing players, except for if Holmes is not fit...
sounds unlikely.
It's a difficult one. I really hope so.
We're on Sky anyway, aren't we? So we're not going to win. Doesn't matter who we play.
I was forgetting that, sorry.
Dan, trying to wee on our parade, says, the big question is, will we hold on to Lookman in January?
I suspect yes. I just think, yes, I think players, we've had scouts, I'm sure, every week looking at Adamola Lookman, and you see glimpses of just how good he is every single game he plays, but not necessarily for 90 minutes, for example. Yesterday, I thought, was probably one of his better performances this season. He obviously exploded onto the scene last season and carried that forward. I think he's a marked man in this league now, I suspect, and so he finds it a little more difficult to find that space and get involved as he did last season. So I think maybe top clubs are looking, wondering whether it's worth the punt now or just wait.
I think, and this is not a criticism of him at all because he is still 19, but there has been games in this season where he struggled to really get into the game, and that's because the opposition are picking on him and picking him out as such an attacking player. And I think if you're especially one of the top four clubs in the Premier League and you're looking at him, I don't understand what benefit he's going to get by going to one of them now, where, you know, they could basically give him another year's worth of football at this level to really have it kicked out of him by all these big players and then go in. The risk is obviously that someone else comes in and takes him off their toes, but obviously he's going to get that move at some point. But
Yeah, I don't expect him to be here next season, put it that way, but yeah. I do expect him to be here for the second half of this.
Yeah, I think I probably agree.
Mark says he loved the Movember screen tashes at CFC yesterday. They were pretty well on the big screen when they
Who was it that looked just, I mean, who didn't need one? It was Ricky Holmes, I suppose, wasn't it?
He just
looked like they just didn't need to put that tash on him.
Yeah,
he could have done that himself.
Yeah, for anyone who wasn't here, when the team lineup was being read out by Brian Cole, the players' faces were flashing up on the big screen, and then they had a big tash on them for Movember. It looked very funny. In fact, Mark says Ricky Holmes looked like a ninja warrior, provided a bit of a laugh. We're going to hop on to the emails in just a few seconds. Don't forget, tonight's show, we want to find out your memories of Andy Hunt, because we're going to hear from him. The club's interview with him, we're going to hear from him in the next 10, 15 minutes or so. We also want to know your favourite ever FA Cup goal scored by the Addicts after Ademola Lookman scored an absolute screamer here at the Valley yesterday. Three good goals, really, yesterday, but Lookman certainly took the top prize. Tell, we should have some emails on the game, I believe.
We've got a few. Jim Duttons was the first one. Thanks, Jim. He messaged in saying, things are looking up, but play Lookman up front with McGuinness. End of message. So, Jim, coming straight to the point, he thinks we play Lookman up front in a straight front two with McGuinness. I actually understand that and don't disagree. I think Lookman is a better player. You saw that third goal, his second.
In terms of a one-on-one finish.
As a one-on-one finish, I think going straight down the middle, I think, is where his strength ultimately is and will be if it isn't already. So there is a sense of playing him out wide is a little bit of a waste, but he still does a job there, of course, and that first goal is testament to that. But I get what he's saying, and I think I can't see it happening, though. That's the point. When we got Jose and Novak also, who all three of them play up front, I can't see Ademola Lookman getting his chance straight up the middle.
Yeah, Novak's been a funny one, hasn't he, this season? Obviously, he's had his interrupted pre-season schedule. He's got a couple of goals recently, the late winner against Chesterfield last week. He had a chance late on yesterday. We tried to lift it over the goalkeeper. Yeah. I mean, we know there's a good player in there, because he scored, was it 13, 14 at Chesterfield last season? So I think that's another one that if he can get a run in the side, if he can... He probably might have felt slightly disappointed that he scored last week and didn't get a start this week. But if he's one that if he can get a run, then I'd expect more than what we've seen already from him.
I'd say probably McGuinness deserves to stay in because of his overall contribution.
Yeah, McGuinness should, definitely. Yeah. Well, I meant
I think the McGuinness-Novak partnership probably wouldn't be as potent as either McGuinness and a Jose when it gets going, or even Novak and a Jose. And even taking Jim's point, McGuinness and Lookman. But you just can't, as you can't see them dropping Josh McGuinness, and I can understand that, then it is going to be a struggle for... It's then you're looking for one position with three players. I'm actually intrigued to see next week how Jose and Novak play together, because I thought pre-season they looked like they were beginning to get a partnership together before the injury. So
yeah, I remember that Welling game. Jose had his hat trick. I think Novak's out at least two of them.
Yeah,
didn't he?
So I'm intrigued and looking forward to seeing that in a bizarre way. I know we're going to be missing players, but I'm really hopeful that those two can click.
I think there's that feel with maybe not so much Lookman because he's been playing out wide, but with the other two, they're almost on trial every game. And okay, Novak comes on and scores, but that, you know, when he then starts, he hasn't made a massive contribution, and the same with the Jose. So I think it's up to them, one of them, to take that position and make it their own. And at the moment, they have made good contributions, but neither of them have really grabbed it. And like we've all said, I think McGuinness is pretty much undroppable at the moment, and he's really come in and made that position his own, and no one's really made that second striker spot their own yet. But there's still time, and it, like you've said earlier, Louis, both those players have got goals last year, and it just takes one or two maybe to get the ball rolling, and hopefully one of them will do that.
Yeah. Next email,
Tom? This is from Dan Farmer. Dan, thanks, Dan. Yesterday's game, thought it was a really good game. Ulverstad really impressed me. Did he? I don't remember playing. never really done that before, so let's hope he continues to impress. Maybe he needed a run of games because he didn't at Burnley. McGuinness impressed again, so did Rudd. Top goalkeeper, really good saves, and not the first time this season. Jose disappointed me, no goal and didn't look happy. Let's hope he scores soon, maybe Swindon. Hope we can continue and climb the league. Momentum is key, and it looks like we have some at the moment. Need to get 3 points Saturday. Swindon are struggling. Mm. I hate that. Going against a side that are struggling.
Like Gillingham were.
It really gets to me.
Yeah. Dan's just tweeted actually saying, we're playing away from home, Terry, 4-5-1, 100%, not 4-4-2.
Yeah, I know. What was I thinking? I don't know.
Yeah,
that's likely, isn't it?
In fairness, if you look at some of our away performances this season, under the 4-5-1 that can turn into a 4-3-3, the Scunthorpe and the Port Vale are two of our best performances of the season.
But strangely, with the people we've got missing, the players we've got missing, it may force his hand into a 4-4-2, because we haven't really got that many other options.
You'd end up playing Foley, Crofts and Olvestad, wouldn't you, in the middle, because you'd have Jackson out wide, so...
Yeah, I'd prefer. I think you have to go 4-4-2. I think with the people we got.
But who knows?
Who knows? Got any other emails here?
Mark Newbury has emails. Thanks, Mark. Evening, folks. Sad to say, I wasn't there yesterday.
Oh, good.
Funnily enough, he wasn't there. Anyway. It's probably the first time I woke up on a cup day and felt I really couldn't be bothered to go and support the team. This is a sad indication of the way the club has let its fans down over the last few years. And I realise there isn't a lot of enthusiasm by so many people who could you could always rely on. I went to Selhurst, I went to Upton Park, and have travelled from Yeovil to Sunderland following Charlton, but now these types of games don't hold any appeal. On a separate note, why haven't we cancelled the Swindon game due to the international call-ups? Oh, don't get me started, Mark.
We've been trying to work out exactly the reason behind that. I think there's some sort of agreement between the Football League and the clubs that was made before the season.
Right, you ready?
Tell's got the fact. Are you coming out? Well, are you going to hit me with some facts, Tell?
I think this is it. Correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, if they know different. So I apologise if this is wrong, but this is how I'm led to believe. You are contracted by the league and Sky to agree to show a number of games on Sky. So at least one, or at least two, maybe, I think. So I think we were down to play Millwall on the telly, and we refused because of the international call-ups. Because of that, that was our one chance at rejecting a game on telly. The other one you've got to do. You can't reject it because of the contractual agreement.
But since you only get one veto.
Well, I think certainly one, yeah. So we had to agree to the second one. And then whether that's Sky being utter, and I can't say the word,
almost certainly, and
picking the next one on the same time as the international call-ups, knowing full well what's going to happen, that's a distinct possibility. But because we'd already ducked out a one, we couldn't duck out the next one. So we can't say no, I think, is the effective. So we have to agree to a Sky TV game, and therefore we can't call it off for the international breaks.
Because I remember after the Millwall one, the game got called off, Rich had something in his paper from the Millwall CEO or someone saying that we'd called it off.
Yeah, well, we...
And we were well within our rights to do
that. Yeah, we had three, well, four as it turned out, wasn't it? But we had international call-ups and therefore we were within our rights to call it off, even though Sky wanted to televise the game. And that was our one chance of doing so. Now, that could be wrong, but we certainly agreed to... I mean, you can blame the telly all it's like, and I think if the first scenario is correct, then they are to blame for picking the game again when there's international call-ups. But we had to, or we certainly have agreed to televise this game, therefore we can't now back out.
Well, that's frustrating. That's usually frustrating because it does feel like that. I know we've already discussed how we're going to try and set up, but it just feels like we're being very much cheated out of being able to play a full-strength team. It's not like an injury, which is unavoidable. This is something that could be... I mean, we surely they could have picked a different game.
Well, I mean, you'd think so. And if Sky are at all worried about fans and about the content of the show they're just about to put in front of the paying public, then they'd want the best sides out there and the best players in the best sides out there. So to pick a game where we have got three of our best players missing makes absolutely no sense at all. But Sky aren't doing this for...
I was going to say, I think they've shown plenty of times that they don't really care about the fans in the slightest.
So don't give them monkeys.
If they were that bothered about the game they're putting on, they'd probably put on a better game than Swindon Charlton.
Yeah. Well, I think they're contractually obliged to show us at least once a season.
Yeah.
And because of that, we can only duck out once. That's how I understand it. That could be wrong, and I could be completely misinformed, but that's how I've been led to believe.
Well, there you go. Well, there we go. Terry bringing you what we hope are facts here on Charlton Live.
Yeah, but don't put your mortgage on it.
Yeah, right. Let's have a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to go straight into the club's interview with a star striker from back in the day, Andy Hunt, a top scorer in that promotion season around 1999-2000. That promotion season where we won what was then called the First Division, now called the Championship. He came back to the Valley for the first time in 15 years against to see the lads take on Chesterfield. Ollie Groom interviewed him just before kick-off, so we'll hear what he had to say after this quick break.
Hunt
Dennis is fed in, lovely touch, goes around his player, chips across the box, Jackson, oh yes, what a goal by Johnny Jackson, arriving late in the box, Holmes Dennis with a pinpoint cross, and the skipper's given Charlton the lead.
Charlton Live.
Andy, welcome back to the Valley, somewhere I'm sure that has very special memories for you.
Indeed it does, it's wonderful to be back. I've I had a marvellous 3 years here at the Valley, and it was the peak of my career. Shame it didn't continue really, but just so nice to be back.
You're part of a very special team, weren't you, under Alan Kerbishley, first year in the Premier League and then of course top scorer in Division 1 the following season. What was it about that time at Charlton and that team that made it so special, do you think?
I think it was a culmination of the years that the club and the coaching staff had brought together, such a wonderful feeling at the club, and so many good players, and without having too many superstars, we played so well together, and we improved. Certainly, my time here, the 2 or 3 years, we improved immensely in that time, and. I was just watching some video before of when we got back into the Premier League, and it was amazing how fast we used to hit teams on the attack, and what a great understanding we had together. So, wonderful days.
The second season at the club, obviously that year we won the Division 1 title. You sort of almost stepped into the shoes of Clive Mandonga, who last time we were in that division bagged all those goals. You scored, I think, 24 goals that season, top scorer for us.
Yeah.
Did you have that feeling you would have scored that amount of goals that season and fire us back, or did it a sort of natural progression?
Not at all, because I was actually dropped for the first couple of games because I guess my performance wasn't quite good enough, but managed to squeeze back in the team, and we just had a great year, didn't we? And I guess a lot of players who'd had experience in that league at the time were really reaching their potential, and we went on to have just an amazing season.
Had some good support players in that team, making the goals for you, people like Sean Newton putting the ball in.
Yeah.
You had John Slarko even in the team that year.
Yeah.
Who was the player for you really that made your job as easy as it was that year?
Well, we had an amazing understanding between the wingers, the strikers, and you know, John Robinson and Sean. We had Mark Kinsella in the middle who just never stopped working, and we were just a great all-round team. I don't think anybody would have enjoyed playing us at that time, and obviously when we went into the Premier League we proved at that point that we were a quality side.
I guess the real disappointment was how it ended with you quite prematurely. I mean, what are your memories of that? Quite a difficult time, I imagine.
Yeah, it was awful. I you know, played my whole career. You worked towards something, and I felt I was reaching my peak, and I certainly was proving that in the games. And I still to this day have no clue why I wasn't able to, you know, continue that performance. But I of course it was a shame. But what can you do? Life goes on. You just tried to get over this and move on to something else, but it was a shame. I mean, I would have loved to have had another 3 or 4 years at the highest level, and certainly with Charlton, because they went on to do great things in those following seasons.
Of course, that something else you mentioned was going to the Bleach Jungle and starting that adventure. I mean, quite a fascinating career move for a footballer.
Yeah, well, I mean, what can you do, right? I mean, I didn't really have to, you know, it was a sad way to end my career, really. You know, I was only 30, and the club were fantastic about it. They were really helpful and understanding. I wish it had never happened. I wish I could have continued playing. You know, like I said, with 3 or 4 years of the peak time for me, I'm sure I could have gone on to have really had a career to look back on. You know, but. But yeah, it went well, and time for a change, time to do something different.
Well, I think you said this is the first time you've been back to the Valley in 15 odd years.
It is.
One man that you probably haven't seen since then, Keith Peacock.
Yes.
If you want to come in. Keith, how special was Andy, a player to the team that we had during that period?
Yeah, well, I had an early preview of Andy when he linked up with my son Gavin up at Newcastle, and he was a raw young player there to come from not long come from non-league.
Yeah, Kettering, non-league, yeah.
And he could turn defenders and run to the sides. But when he came to us, he not only did that, but he could hold the ball up so well. He had developed this ability to hold it up, score goals, run to the side, and be a good team player. So he was an integral part of our team. And although you don't know this, Andy, when you left, Curbs, but I don't know how much he complimented you during the time you were there. Did you get many?
I don't know how much compliments, but I used to say the fact that you didn't tell me off too much as a compliment.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. He had said for the next few years, really, we need an Andy Hunt back in the side. And that was a great compliment because you kind of, you, sometimes with a good professional as well, you take things for granted. He's not going to be flamboyant. He's going to do all the necessary things. And is that good all-round player? And for year, you know, a few years he did. So you can say, you know, that was a compliment when you were gone. We missed you badly, but had some great times together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you obviously had a tremendous good career, even though it was curtailed.
Yeah.
What game was it? I remember one game.
Obviously at home, wasn't it?
When you... Did we beat them?
I think we beat them 1-0, 2-0. I scored and came off, didn't I? And then I think you were about to put the number up anyway, and I scored, but I was coming off regardless. So, yeah.
But you played some games. I remember sitting in the dressing room just before that time, and you scored a goal or two, and it was in how you got through it, and he was absolutely shattered afterwards. Yeah. So, Keith, I can hardly move. You know, and I said, but you were a star player today, sort of thing. It was hard for me to believe, you know, in the ignorance of what he was having to go through. But fantastic what you did for the club. Great memories for, I'm sure, a lot of the fans here as well.
Keith, do you remember many players scoring back-to-back hat-tricks for Charlton, as Andy did?
No, in fact, that's news to me. What game?
Well, one was against Stockport, wasn't it? And then Norwich, was it? Or
Stockport
something?
Norwich, wasn't it? Stockport home and away. I guess I don't have an invite or Christmas card coming from Stockport anytime soon, but And Norwich is a good one because that's where I lived. That's where my family come from. So going away to Norwich and scoring three there was interesting. Yeah.
Well, we better not get too excited because although he's exactly the same weight, I checked him out because I'd always weighed the players over the years, exactly the same weight as when he left. So pressure could be on. You know, if we don't get a few goals today, they'll be chanting your name, I think.
Boots are in the car, I'm ready, so you never know. It's veterans football these days.
Yeah. Ah, well, that's another story. Yeah. I may catch you in a veterans game later on.
Okay.
Great seeing you.
Cheers, Keith. Yeah. Good to see you again.
Cousins, lovely ball into the path of Goodmanson. Can he take his man on? He does. He's trying to be pulled back, but he's in the area. The ball across the middle, Gainey! And there's a goal! Charlton have the lead again. Super work, firstly from Henderson, and rolled it out to Cousins, who did a pinpoint pass into the path of Goodmanson. And instead of Goodmanson going on his own, a slide rule ball across the penalty area, picked out Vedekele, who buried his chance, and Charlton a 2-1 up.
Charlton Live. From the home of time. Home of time. This is Maritime Radio, Greenwich.
They got that deep, they all needed snorkels.
Charlton Live.
So welcome back to Charlton Live. That was Ollie Groom's interview with Andy Hunt, a player who was integral to our promotion season when we won the championship title in 2000. And then, was it not much longer after, he so sadly had to retire. He had chronic fatigue syndrome.
Yeah, 2003, wasn't it? Chronic fatigue syndrome, which nobody understood, and probably nobody. I don't think anybody does.
If I remember rightly, wasn't his last touch for us a goal against Coventry? He put it in, and then he pretty much got taken off straight away.
Yeah, oh, that's a good memory. I don't remember that, but I'll bow to your knowledge.
Yeah, because I've got a feeling people he scored the goal, and then before they'd even taken
him off.
Before they'd even taken the centre. No, they. I remember they said we'd take him off, and then people were almost laugh. No, it was as if it was a funny thing, but little did they know at the time that'd be the last time we see him. And then the camera pans to him sat on a bench, and he's mouthing to someone, "I am absolutely knackered.
And apparently, for the previous games before, he was coming off, and even though he, some play, you know, some would say he wasn't really putting a shift in, he just couldn't walk, and he was, you know, every bone was aching and stuff like that. I'm sure when you get something like that, you think, oh, it's flu or man flu, or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, chronic fatigue syndrome, which, as I say, I don't particularly understand, and I don't think there's a cure particularly. There are physios, and you can manage it, but you can't cure it. So, you know, it was almost impossible for him to play football. I know he tried. Didn't he come back and try a couple of years later to try? And, he played a few reserve games for us a couple of years
after.
That
rings a bell, actually. Yeah,
yeah, he didn't get a contract.
Yeah, he didn't. No, he came back to say that I think I'm all right now, but it didn't. Whether or not he wasn't all right, or just 3 years out, or however long it was.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you can't just walk straight back in and play professional football again, I suspect.
I guess that's why, coming back to the Jan story, the fact that he came back from leukemia and actually managed to make a career of it is incredible, really. Andy Hunt, as mentioned in the interview there, he took the career path not so well trodden for ex-footballers. He now runs the Belize Jungle Dome and Green Dragon Adventure Travel, a pair of adventure travel companies in Belize.
We need to go.
Yeah.
There needs to be a Charlton Live expedition.
Charlton Live World Tour. We're going to stop at Radisson Kishishev's restaurant.
Oh, I like this idea.
We're going to go to Belize. Where else could we go? What other former players are out?
Ilitch has got something, isn't he, in Malta?
Something there. So
I seem to remember him having a holiday home or something.
Johnny Robinson's in the States, isn't he?
Yeah. Micah Mann, is he?
Micah Mann's in the States as well. So we've got the States covered as well. Iceland, we must, surely Herman's back in Iceland.
Talking of Iceland, our good friend Johan Berg Gudmundsson bagged his first goal for Burnley yesterday against
Palace.
It was very enjoyable for all Charlton fans. I asked you guys for your favourite memories of Andy Hunt, and Badger on the forum said the Andy Hunt hat-trick against Norwich. And then Horson Green pointed out then a couple of weeks later another hat-trick, this time at Stockport, and it was two successive, it was actually in consecutive games, or consecutive away games at least. He scored six goals in those two games, in I think it was a 3-0 win at Stockport and like a 4-0, 4-1 at and Ollie Oss can you remember ever a player scoring hat-tricks in two games in a row?
Personally, no. On Derek Ells must have. I don't physically remember them, but I'd guess he must have. But
I
remember
a bit of a hat-trick machine, was he?
Just a goal machine, full stop. But Andy Hunt obviously sticks out because the most recent. Didn't Clive Mendonca? No, I know he got a hat-trick in the first game of the season.
He did it. I had a feeling he got consecutive hat-tricks on the first days of season. So he scored. It weren't even that, because he scored our first home game against Southampton in the Prem. He scored a hat-trick. Then the next season, our first game, which was also at home, was against Barnsley, got a hat-trick. So that's two consecutive first home game of the season hat-tricks. If you nitpick stats like that, you're going to get loads of them.
True.
Yeah. Right, Baz Johnster on the forum. This is probably a question for you, Tel, because you're a commentator.
Because it's old.
Because you're a commentator. Oh, right, okay. And it's also because I'm passing the buck, because I'm not 100% sure I know the answer to this, although I definitely should. He says, I'll bow to the professional judgment and expertise of your studio threesome. I don't know who he thinks
no
is
pressure.
In it. Yeah, but he says, but is it pronounced McGuinness or McGuinness? I always say McGuinness.
I tend to say McGuinness.
McGuinness. McGuinness as in the pint of.
As in the pint of, but it's spelt.
It's spelt as in Guinness.
Guinness. Although, when he first joined, I ended up saying McGuinness a couple of times. I'm sure
that's completely different. Yeah, I know, exactly, beverage, that is.
So, I'd probably, if I thought about it, I'd probably say McGuinness. But in commentary, don't be at all surprised if I end up saying McGuinness.
Yeah. So I always just say McGuinness.
So basically, we're hedging our bets here.
Yeah. Basically, what I always do, if I don't know, I just go, and then just hope no one notices.
Number nine.
The big number nine has scored again. Right, quick break, and then FA Cup memories time, I think. I want to know your favourite ever FA Cup goals scored by the Addicts. Someone's also tweeted in that reminded me of one of my favourite ever FA Cup games, so I think we'll give that a little mention as well. If you want to get one in just before the end of the show, you can email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, and let us know if you're going to Colchester on Tuesday as well, because I'm willing to find out if there's anyone listening now who's going. I reckon we could get five listeners who are going. So if there's five listeners who are going, tweet us now, and let's see if we can make the Charlton Live 5 going to Colchester on Tuesday for the check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Dennis is fed in, lovely touch, goes round his player, chips across the box, Jackson! Oh, yes! What a goal by Johnny Jackson!
arriving late in the box. Holmes Dennis with a pinpoint cross, and the skipper's given Charlton the lead.
Charlton Live. So welcome back, Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Bob Liscombe's just tweeted me saying, doesn't Mendonca's hat-trick at Wembley and then home to Southampton count as consecutive?
That was my point.
Incorrect, because we played Newcastle in between those two
games.
Ah,
okay, all right. Yeah. Me and you both are thick, Bob.
Our first ever Premier League game was that goalless draw up at St James's Park. No hat-tricks in that one, I'm afraid.
Bob also emailed me to tell me that the Millwall game was postponed not for any other reason other than to ensure that we didn't lose it to them in front of millions.
Millions. I think he's greatly overestimating the attractiveness of Charlton Millwall. I'm sure a few people have watched it, but millions might be over the top. Although he is correct about the defeat, of course, because it's Millwall. Right, Adam O'Lutman's absolute bloody screamer opened the scoring yesterday. And it was one of those. It puts him up there with Ronnie Radford, in my opinion, in terms of one of the great FA Cup goals. So that led me to want to know what your favourite FA Cup goals. I mean, obviously, we're not necessarily a cup team in terms of, like I said, we've got to the quarterfinals four times in 23 seasons. So I can't decide if that's good or bad.
Now, that stat's been thrown around, that we're not a good cup side.
Yeah, but
can I just run through some stats then?
Go on.
I don't know, and obviously this is quantified by how many actual cup games we've played, but we've, obviously, you know, we've been to the final twice. We've actually been to the semi-final twice, which means we don't lose semi-finals, which is a good omen if we ever get there again. We've been to the quarterfinal seven times. We've got to the fifth round 17 times. We've got to the fourth round 32 times. And we have only ever been knocked out in the first round once. And that was to Exeter back in 1923. So
in the first round?
Yeah.
No, we got knocked out
in
the first round.
Third round's loads of times. But yeah. for actually in the first round.
No, we got knocked out by Northwich Victoria in the first round as well.
That was third, wasn't it?
That was the first round. That was when we were League One. It was the first round.
I'm sure it was. Check on it. But anyway. Is that bad? 32 times into the fourth, 17 into the fifth, seven quarter-final appearances? Is that, you know...
Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, how many other... I mean, when you consider how many teams actually enter the thing, and even at this level, is that bad compared to others? I don't know.
Well, I'd say, considering we're normally a championship team, I'd say fourth round isn't much of an achievement, that's one game. Fifth round isn't really much of an achievement, that's two games. That's why I brought up four times in the last 23 years into the quarterfinals? Because I think quarterfinals is good for us, but considering the amount of time in the last 23 seasons we were a Premier League team, you know, should a Premier League team be hoping... I mean, only once as a Premier League team did we get to the quarterfinals. The other three were as a Championship team. Should we have been aiming to get that far or further more often?
Especially with the FA Cup. Well, first of all, it's a cup game, so it's obviously knockout round by round. I think... quarter final onwards, obviously, that just having the word final in a round sounds better, so that makes a start. But I also think Wembley is how fans probably quantify success. I think, you know, if you think of something like tennis with Wimbledon, if you have a player who gets to the quarter final 10 years in a row but never actually wins it, are they a great player or are they just a good player?
It's a Tim Henman question, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, if we'd have just once got to Wembley and then gone out in the fourth round 3 or 4 years, at least we would have that memory, whereas actually travelling up to Sheffield United for a quarter final and losing it almost means nothing. We might as well have gone out two rounds earlier to Oxford or whoever it was we played. So I think, you know, we do okay, but we don't do well enough for me. And as a fan, I want to be able to go to Wembley and see Charlton play, especially as I didn't get to go to the 98 one. So yeah, I think not good enough yet.
Okie dokie. But anyway, we got sidetracked.
This might change your mind though. Do you know how much money we won yesterday?
Probably. £8,000.
£18,000 we won yesterday.
Excellent. Yeah. I'll go straight in Roland's pocket, won't it?
Yeah, the FA aren't on the not a penny more scheme then.
and you're right with Northwich, by the way, I got that wrong. So it's twice we've lost.
Twice we've lost in the first round. So we've overcome what could have been a first round banana. Well, it wasn't a banana skin, but could have been an embarrassment yesterday. So anyway, I was trying to think of good goals we scored in the FA Cup. And two that came to mind yesterday, and this was just to get the ball rolling, really, was that game we've mentioned at Hillsborough, the 2-1 sixth round win, where I thought Callum Harriott's goal, the opener for that, was a good move, and then it came to him on the edge of the box, and it was quite a hard sort of, the ball was quite high up, a half volley on his left foot into the top corner, so I thought that was a great strike. And I remembered one from a few years ago when we were back in the Premier League. We were playing Leyton Orient here at the Valley, and it's been a difficult game. I think they were League One at the time, Leyton Orient. and it was looking like a 1-1, you know, difficult game. And then Jay Boffroyd sets up a free kick in the last minute, absolutely spanks it through the goalkeeper, and we win the game by 2-1. So they were my two that I mentioned. Have you guys got a favourite?
I had that Boffroyd one noted down. The two I can think of is when we drew with Oxford a couple of years ago, Kermagant had like a scissor kick volley from the edge of the area for our second goal.
All right,
So Morrison, I think, got the first with a header. And then the second one was Danny Green with a cross, and Kermagant had like, yeah, a little scissor kick volley. And the other was, I think, against Brentford, having done some Googling. It was a Kishishev kind of through ball over the top, and then Darren Bent with a slotted finish.
That's a nice move.
Yeah, and it's something that we saw Bent do time and time again, get that ball and break the run from the last defender and slot it home.
I remember that game well, because this was back in the day when teams were coming here thinking we were a big club, so therefore they had big attendances, and we actually had to give Brentford and Orient a section of the East Stand. I think it was the same season, wasn't it? But something kicked off in the Jimmy Seed Stand amongst the Brentford fans. Stewards went piling in, at what point some of the Brentford fans in the East Stand decided to get involved as well, so they jumped onto the pitch, ran across the pitch into the Jimmy Seed to throw a few punches. And we salute them for that.
Yes, we
do. We don't really. Terry, no, your favourites? Yeah, I imagine you've seen a fair few more FA Cup ties than we have.
One or two, I suspect, yeah. I mean, my earliest...
Like, given our record, it might...
Yeah, well, there you go, yeah. My earliest favourite FA Cup moment, because it was back in 1987, I'm pretty sure, we played Fulham. And, I think... Malcolm McDonald was managing Fulham at the time, and this is when Derek Howes was in his pomp. I'm pretty sure it's that season. I'm now looking for it in Colin Cameron's book, but I'm pretty sure that was actually, it might have been 86. So the point being is that Fulham were a first division outfit, we weren't, and Malcolm McDonald just said, all you've got to do is stop Derek Howes. You stop Derek Howes, you stop Charlton, no problems at all. I think Peter Shaw got the first goal. I can't remember whether Fulham equalised. I'm pretty sure that whether Fulham equalised or we equalised. I can't exactly remember. But Derek Howes had been marked fairly tightly, and I was in the away end as it is now, at ground level, right in the right hand corner of the goal. And just for a split second, I think in something like the 50s or 60th minute, he picked up the ball on the our right hand corner of the penalty area, just swivelled, a bit like Johnny Jackson's one yesterday, and arrowed this shot right into the bottom right hand corner of the net, and the keeper had no chance. I remember Malcolm McDonald absolutely going ballistic, both then and after the game in the interview, and he was like ranting. He was like, I told them to mark him, I told them what had happened. That sticks out. The Darren Pitcher goal away at Blackburn in 94, I think it was, when they were, were they Premiership champions?
I think they were. I mean, this was ever so slightly before my time, but I haven't done some research on this. I think they were the champions. So this was a bit of a shock for us. It was a replay, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was 0-0 here, and then we went up there and we scored 1-0. And then had hung on for like grim death for the rest of the game. So that one sticks in my mind as well.
A couple of deflections. Well, that's one that that people have mentioned on the forum. In fact, CFC for Life says Simon Church got a weldy using his knee and his elbow.
His elbow, yeah.
I seem to remember at Hillsborough. Me and my mates hung around after that game to get photos and stuff, like proper geeks. And this is the first time I ever got to meet my hero, Simon Church, and he came out. And I said, oh, a few people on Twitter have said that you handballed the goal in. Would that happen? And he went, no comment.
In other words.
That's how we know he did. Simonson says, Kim Grant at Liverpool. Now, was that an FA Cup goal? I think a volley. Was that a Coca-Cola Cup?
Good question.
Yeah. I mean, again,
Coca-Cola rings a bell.
I hope I'm wrong, but I've got a feeling that Happy Valley says Tracy at Palace. Do you remember this one?
Oh, Ray Tracy.
What was it like?
Ray Tracy. Well, all Ray Tracy's goals were awesome, but I'm biased because he was my first ever hero, Ray Tracy. I probably wasn't there. I don't remember going to Palace that often. I remember going there once as a kid. My dad dragged me there and hated every second of it. That hasn't changed through the years. I'm not sure I was there for that one.
McBobbin said he liked Duffy's winner at Wembley back in the day. I think it was a bit of a scramble, that goal, and he just piled it in. But in terms of iconic Charlton moments, Tell, and obviously you were there.
Shut up.
Celebrating your 30th birthday.
I was there with Makera.
Yeah. Exiled Addict says a deflected assisted Kins effort against Newcastle at the Valley, and Mark Robson's free kick in the replay at St. James's. Yeah.
Mark Robson's free kick was a world.
Yeah, in fact, we've been given the link to the video here, so I'll tweet that out after the game.
Trouble is, I think that was when I vividly remember that game because I'm pretty sure Alan Shearer was playing for Newcastle, and Richard Rufus, I think, was playing for us, and he had him in his pocket.
Yeah.
And I think Alan Shearer was the most disrespectful footballer I'd ever because he just hated the fact that Rufus had him in his pocket, and the Charlton fans were obviously reminding of that every possible opportunity, and he was just coming up and getting. When he scored after Mark Robbins, so he basically scored the winner up at St Joseph's Park, he made a point of coming right in up to us and secretly giving us the hand gestures.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just classless.
Yeah. Oh, do you reckon he does that on Match of the Day, just behind Gary Lineker's back doing possibly, it to like Ian Wright or someone, Jermaine Genius. right, sorry, back on the forum. Addict1965 says, Pardew's header from outside the box against Burnley in the 90s. Can you remember that one, Tom?
No, I don't, actually.
Jack Charlton mentions that Darren Pitcher goal against Blackburn. Now, Addicted. Now, this is Derek Hales. We talked about this goal yesterday, actually, Tell. We're talking about Derek Hales' goal at Harlow. It's on
like the one where he crossed it.
Yeah, it's on like the centenary DVD or something like that. We're basically away to Harlow Town in the FA Cup.
I've got a feeling that was on the telly as well. Don't quote me, but
I think it must have been because there's video with commentary and all that. And that was very rare back in those days.
Because I remember them interviewing afterwards, and most people were thinking that with Derek Hales. I remember coming back from the game and everybody saying, well, do you reckon Derek Hales will admit that? Do you reckon he'll say it was an absolute worldy goal? And now I was aiming for the top corner. But apparently he was interviewed straight. I don't know if it was. Mr. Moore that was interviewing him afterwards, but I think he just went no, it was a cross.
Talking about FA Cup memories, Mark Anderson said the day we took over Old Trafford 10,000 strong singing Lee Byrne with a consolation goal, we deserve more. So again this is episode, and this was in 94.
I remember that game. I took so many people up there.
What was the game? I think they went down to 10 men.
They went down to Schmeichel got sent off. Was that the one?
Yeah.
Schmeichel got sent off, and we all thought, "Hello, this is it." And then we were giving it large, and then I think a minute into the second half, or after 5 minutes in the second half, we were 2-0 down or something, because they just come out and battered us for 10 minutes, and that was it.
Yeah. Bob Liscombe mentions the same goal. He says probably nothing special, but Lee Burns at Old Trafford, and the things can only get better. Game, and then he says, I'm looking forward to the draw, and he hopes that we get Blackpool at home. And then he's put the pig emoji four times. What is it implying?
I have
there?
No idea.
Ollie Groom also mentioned that Kinsella goal against Newcastle. I think I've got a feeling that might have been on TV as well. The club tweeted a picture of it, so the video of it the other day, and you could see him scoring. It's about 25 yards out. He hit it quite low, and it sort of beat the keeper when perhaps it shouldn't have done. But it was a bit of a screamer. Captain Blackaddick has tweeted us a photo of the elbow of church, or the elbow of God, as I like to call it. Draw tomorrow night. Anything you fancy? I think obviously it's still the lower down teams.
I'm torn, actually. Yeah, I think we're ball 37. I think it's been tweeted out. I'm torn between wanting a cushy, easy one, if there is such a thing, a home, like real lower league stuff, or an interesting away tie. I'm torn. Because I'd quite like to be in the third round.
Yeah, I mean, if we have to have an away game, I want it to be like a good non-league team as in a non-league team that I haven't been to before. Otherwise, I don't want to be going up to some northern League One, League Two team for an away game, because that's just painful. Because I was sort of half eyeing up that weekend where we knew we wouldn't be able to play Millwall because they'd gone through. I was sort of before the game, I was thinking, well, if we do lose,
what are the chances, do you reckon, of the game we were supposed to be playing Millwall in the league, we end up getting them in the
cup? Yeah, that'd be lovely, wouldn't it? That's what we'd all love. And then it has to be moved for Sky to an international weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Brian Haynes says, I did the sums on the once. Charlton do a bit less well than they should statistically. Not hugely, but worse than they should in the FA Cup.
I don't think that quantifies. I don't think any professional report would come out. And in summary, we do less well than we should.
Not quite scientific in the tweet, but I understand Brian.
No, he's probably right, though.
He's done the maths. Amy's come to my defence as well. It says it was in the first round against Norwich Victoria.
Yes, no, she was. You're right.
I've succumbed
to your rightness.
John Jones says the best Charlton FA Cup memory was beating Sheffield Wednesday 2-0 in 96. Their tango man broke into the North Stand to congratulate us.
Do you know, I'm trying to remember what year it was. The first time I ever remember playing Sheffield Wednesday pretty much was in the Cup at Sheffield Wednesday. And I remember getting there, and I always got there early. I don't know why, but I always got there like two or three. As soon as the gates opened, I was in there, and I was in the front. And I just remember Sheffield Wednesday turning up. And it was like, it was like a sea of this blue and white. They appeared at the far end, which is now the Jimmy Seat. and came over the mound, because there was a mound from the entrance to the stand, or to the terrace. And they thought, well, we're not staying here. I don't know if it was raining or the weather was a bit inclement, but they decided the covered end is where they wanted to be, and they just came off. And they didn't bother walking round the pitch, they just walked across it. Thousands of them. Absolutely fine. I'm standing going, I'm on my own. This isn't going to go well. And I got ushered out by police. And they took the covered end for that. But, I mean, they got there really early. They didn't take the covered end because there was only me in it. I think at the time there might have been a few.
You should
others.
Have stood firm, Terry. You could have turned this story into a fought off the tango, yeah, man. His cronies, thousands of them.
I thought, I've got my flask and my blanket here. How am I going to hold them off?
Captain Black Addict said, the 4-0 defeat of Fulham in January 2012 was so much fun. Result didn't matter, and all 7,000 of us sang all afternoon. We mentioned that one on Thursday. That was a great day. A few tweets coming from Matthias Johnson, just that we can squeeze in. Actually, just one more from the FA Cup. Garmy says, not one goal, but the four we put past Forest in 99 after they gave it the big one beforehand. Hated Dave Bassett and the rest. And that was Cole Eburn's last ever goal for us. I remember being gutted when he went to Wimbledon a few days later. I remember he celebrated right in front of me. I have very fond memories of that game. I absolutely loved that game. And I absolutely loved the FA Cup back in those days as well. And it still holds a very special place in my heart. Right, Matthias Johnson said, this was our first win in the FA Cup since that win at Hillsborough. Which is a good point. Wow. So we got knocked out in the first round. Last season against Colchester, year before against Blackburn, under Bob Peters. Said, looking forward to watching our game on the telly against Swindon. I can't see us keeping Lookman. Although he has a level head, a big club could come in and he has gone.
I agree with that, but I'm just not sure when.
Yeah, I mean, a club came in. They weren't a big club in the summer, obviously, Palace, and he wasn't gone. But they came in with a decent amount of money. I think it was £6 million or something on those.
Apparently so.
Yeah,
and every player's got a price, haven't they?
Of course.
If somebody comes in with 10, 15 million, is Roland really going to say no?
No, we'll see. Then Matthias Johnson said, don't you think Fredrik Alvestad is a bit like Astrid Ajayevic in terms of his football ability? Can you remember either of those players, Tal?
I don't remember Astrid or Ajayevic, no.
No, but do you think there's a similarity?
I think Alvestad's got a bit more of an engine about him. I remember Astrid would start blowing out of his backside after about 10 minutes.
I was going to say 10 minutes in.
So I think I'd actually say Alvestad's a better player.
He's got that quality on, or both of them have that quality, where when they've got the ball, they seem to have more time than a lot of other players. Mm-hmm. That's something Lookman has as well, but they're just very relaxed on the ball.
Right, looking ahead, well, we haven't really got time to, but it's the Cheltenham Life 5 haven't materialised. No one's tweeted in saying they're going to Colchester. The Cheltenham Life 1 is, tell
just
you
me
going,
then.
Yeah. I'm giving it a miss.
It's going to be exactly like, I mean, I don't know if I've told you, I must have done. The first game in the Jekka trade was against, what is it, Southampton's under-12s. And we came to the penalty shootout. And for some reason, I mean, there wasn't that many people in, I think it was a few hundred, who weren't making that much noise, but most of the noise was them talking to themselves, I think, and the rattling of cups. But when it came to the penalties, just as the people were stepping up to take it, it was a deathly, everybody shut up. So I'm commentating in the gantry halfway up the west, and everybody could hear every word I was saying. Of course, when the first one went in, I went, goal! Everybody, they would turn around, and then they'd look, what nutter's that? I can imagine it's going to be a similar experience up at Colchester.
Well, we look forward to that, and I look forward to... I probably will try and listen to the commentary. I probably won't. I'll probably go down the pub. It's quiz night down the railway on Tuesday, so I'll probably be there rather than listening to that. But anyway, time has beaten us here on Cheltenham Live, just as we did to Scunthorpe yesterday. Thank you, Tom, for coming in this evening.
Thanks, Louis.
Thank you, Terry.
Cheers, Louis.
I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. I've been Louis Menace. Thanks for all your tweets and your emails. We'll be back on Thursday evening with a big match preview. Myself, Tom, and Nathan will look ahead to next week's games against Swindon. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Thursday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.